So, this is Vibe Drop episode 141, and I have one of the all-time greats joining me from Tech YouTube. This man is suave, he is smooth, and my God, he does some of the absolute best YouTube artwork I've ever seen in my life. He's here, he's next, he's on Vibe Drop, we'll start now. What's up, people? This your boy, Viper, the man about tech, and welcome back to another episode of Vibe Drive. This is the podcast about tech, hosted by the man about tech, and as I just alluded to in my introduction, I have one of the all-time greats of tech YouTube in the back here ready to join me. He is DJ Bond of Tech YouTube. Let's bring in the super one himself, Super Savage here. What's up, bro? How you doing?
Hey, man. Thanks for having me, and thanks for that amazing intro. The James Bond of tech. I like that.
Hey, man. I've seen the pictures that you post online. I've seen your pictures, man. You know what you're doing. You know what you're doing, Sav. But thank you for joining me, man. I appreciate you.
I appreciate you having me, man. Looking forward to this.
Me too. So, first question I ask every first time guest that comes on the podcast, Sav, what brought you to YouTube?
What brought me to YouTube? I've always been into tech. Like I've always been tech support for the family. Mm. So anybody needs a new camera, phone, laptop, TV, you name it, they'll give me a call, be like, Saf, you know, what shall I get? I have no idea. Where do I start? So for me, I was always that guy anyway. But what really brought me onto YouTube was in 2011, I bought a camera, a DSLR camera. I had no idea how to use it, no idea about photography, didn't know what aperture was, shutter speed, etc. But yeah, I just kind of taught myself how to use it. But then as I started posting more content with the camera, photos, videos, I'd get people asking me for advice. And my inbox used to be full initially from friends, but then, you know, the more people started seeing it, I would get emails from strangers, and I just find myself like typing away, trying to give all these people advice. And I was like, what if I was just to kind of make a simple video, right? Because that would have been really helpful for me as well. So I'm like, that's what I did. And that's where the channel really started, around cameras.
What? Wait. So your YouTube channel started around cameras. Wow. That is fascinating to me. Interesting.
Yeah, it was exclusively just DSLR cameras. I was very much into the whole Nikon versus Canon thing. So that was really sort of my specialty on the channel. But then, you know, I think it's you have to move with the times, and that's something that I try my best to do, adapt. And as cameras and smartphones started to get better, I noticed people were kind of moving away from buying an expensive camera. They were just trying to get a phone with a great camera. And that's where I started shifting my focus to smartphones, because, again, smartphones were an area which I was really into. And then I started doing more smartphone-related content. And that's really where the channel sort of took a bit of a turn, and a turn for the better, I would say.
All right. So this is why I love this podcast, because I give myself the flexibility to go anywhere and everywhere with the podcast, depending on what my guests say. So your channel just started off. You told me your channel started off with camera content and things like that. And you talked about Nikon versus Canon. But I don't know how close you still follow camera. But in the most recent years, I was saying like maybe the last 5 or 10 years, Nikon kind of fell off, and it's really become Sony versus Canon. What do you think about what happened to Nikon? Why have they fallen off so much, and why has Sony kind of moved in there to take their place?
So as I was saying earlier on about adapting, this is something that I talk about a lot. Whether you're a content creator or whether you're a brand, you need to adapt to the changes in the market, right? And that's the only way you can kind of stay ahead. Now, one of the things that I found with Nikon is that they were a bit slow in terms of bringing their tech to the level which the market was demanding, right? Especially when it came to video. I still think Nikon cameras take amazing pictures, and they're still some of my go-tos for images, and especially with the amount of glass that's available on Nikon cameras, very, very much like that. But on the video side of things, I think they really were struggling to kind of keep up. And then obviously Sony came into the market. Canon, you know, I have to say Canon recently, they started to kind of get better. Although with the EOS, now it's just completely missed. It's gone off my mind. But the recent camera with the overheating issues as well has been a little bit problematic for them. But I think the great thing, the good thing with Canon was they still had that hold on the beginner market. So, you know, with the, I believe in the US, it's the T5, the Rebels. Those were really some of the go-tos for a lot of people. And that really kept them in the game. Whereas for Nikon, that was not the case, unfortunately.
Yeah, we've seen a lot of that happen with brands failing to adapt to the changes in the market in time. I mean, look at BlackBerry. I mean, at one point, they were at the pinnacle of the smartphone game, and then they failed to adapt. And then iPhone and Android came in there and ate their lunch. So you make a good point about brands not adapting, brands and creators. I mean, if you are in this type of fear, you definitely have to adapt. Otherwise, you just get left behind. Technology moves so fast, you can't just stay stagnant. It just can't happen.
100%. I mean, even if you look at, you know, you mentioned BlackBerry, but Nokia. Like, you remember when Nokia was so big and literally everybody had one. And when, you know, the iPhone came out, they really did not move with the times quick enough. Whereas if you look at Samsung were quick to adapt and start making smartphones. And granted, their early smartphones were almost iPhone clones, you could say, right? And you remember how, especially with the S1 and the S2, they looked a lot like, you know, they were essentially iPhone clones. But then from there, you saw Samsung again carry on adapting and then innovating. And now if you look at the game, you know, they've got all of these foldables, which, you know, nobody else has mastered the way Samsung has. So I think that's a really good example of, you know, the other flip side of things. We were talking about Nikon and how they didn't keep up, and Nokia and BlackBerry, but I think Samsung is a perfect example of a brand that did adapt.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, it's funny because there was like a leaked document online, I think back in 2012, that outlined how Samsung built their Galaxy empire off the back of Apple and iPhone. So when you think Samsung copied out iPhone, you mean literally, they literally copied iPhone to get to where they are. But like you said, they didn't adapt it and they kind of curated their own style. And now we have the Samsung that we know and love today. But like you said, they started off copying iPhone, but then they adapted. So again, adapting to the market and adapting to the changes in technology is key if you want to stay relevant here. Absolutely.
100%. Yeah, that's so, so important. And again, that's something that I always advise people, whether they're creating content or doing whatever, always adapt to changes in the environment, always look at what's happening. It's very easy to kind of get stuck in doing what you're doing and kind of ignoring what's happening around you. And that's very, very risky. You have to kind of always take a step back, look at what's happening, speak to others as well.
Absolutely. So I would be remiss if I did not talk about the Superstaff brand. You have some iconic swag about you and your brand. I mean, I don't even know where to begin, but let's begin with the most obvious thing, the shade. Now, I have told them why I wear shades. It's actually due to an idea that Casey Neistat had, and I adopted it, and it worked for me. But how did you come to start wearing shades in your videos?
So the shades thing is quite interesting. So it actually started quite some time ago because my eyesight isn't great. So I normally wear contact lenses, right? Mm-hmm. And the issue with wearing contact lenses, especially when you're out and about, whether it's hot or cold, is they dry up quite a bit, especially if it's a sunny day or if it's windy. So my solution to that was wearing sunglasses. So I just wear sunglasses, and that way my eyes wouldn't dry up as much as they would. So that's kind of how it started. But then I also realized that they would cover my tired eyes, because I'm somebody who, you know, I'm a complete insomniac. I'll be up to whatever time doing whatever. And I found that it was a really good hack, because as soon as I put my sunglasses on, you can't tell if I'm tired, right? Because usually I'd see somebody and people would be like, oh, Saf, like, you know, you okay? What's up? And I'm be like, I'm fine. I just, you know, didn't sleep much. Slept 3 hours last night. That's all. As soon as the sunglasses go on, that covers it. Right. So that's kind of really where it kind of started. But then obviously Casey's an inspiration to all of us. And his hack of, you know, not like even right now, we're having a chat. My camera's a little bit above where I'm looking. So I'm actually looking below. But hopefully that shouldn't be too disjointed for the audience. So that's kind of really where it all started a few years ago. And then, you know, it kind of just became a thing. And now if I don't wear my sunglasses, I didn't wear my sunglasses in in a recent video, people are like, who is this? Who is this imposter?
I get the same thing. If I take my glasses off, people are like, whoa, what are you doing, Viper? What are you doing? But it's funny, though, because when I first started doing videos, I noticed that I had an issue keeping my attention on the actual lens. And part of being a creator on YouTube and establishing that direct connection with your audience. So you want to be appearing as though you're looking directly at your audience. And I was having an issue with that. So at Casey Neistat did, my hack was to wear some sunglasses. And I had no idea they would take off on a life of its own. They have now, much like you, become part of my brand. But they are an excellent hack for when you cannot look directly at the lens, because then people can't tell where you're looking at. So it doesn't matter if you're not looking directly at the camera. So sunglasses are an amazing hack for real.
Oh, totally, totally. And as I said, there's many advantages. You know, they because right now, especially the combination of the sunglasses with the beard, it's very recognizable. Yep. So, you know, if somebody was to create lots of fans who are awesome will create like artwork and like sort of line artwork, which is kind of really basic. So I remember seeing this amazing artist who made these outline figures of all the biggest tech YouTubers, and mine was the most obvious because it's just like, oh, that's Saf straight away, because as soon as you see the beard and the glasses. And I think that's really important for your brand, because that just establishes yourself. And, you know, amongst the crowd, I mean, it's a great crowd, don't get me wrong. But if you really want to stand out, you need something that's going to be unique and, you know, just something that people can straight away identify when they see it. And I think that's something that, you know, the sunglasses and the beard do. So, yeah, it was all by chance. It wasn't like a grand scheme that was planned to kind of establish this brand. Everything kind of really just happened by chance. Right. But I'm grateful that it's here and it's working.
Yeah, that's one of the beautiful things about being a creator on YouTube. Like, some things that you do, you don't really think much of it when you're doing it in the moment, but the more you do it, it just becomes, it takes on a life of its own. Like, I really didn't expect my sunglasses to become part of my brand, but like I said, now if I don't wear them, people are looking at me like I'm crazy. Like, yo, we're into glasses, Viper, what are you doing? But we got to get a little bit deeper into the whole sunglasses thing with you in particular, because you, sir, you took it next level. You actually made your own sunglasses, so you got to talk to us about how that came to be.
So one of the things that I whenever I speak to people and when I kind of go through comments, one sort of common theme that I used to see a lot was, Saf, where can I get your sunglasses from? Right. Ooh. Now, I kind of noticed an opportunity there. And like, if you search for Super Saf on Google, one of the top related searches among among lots of other fun searches is sunglasses, right? So Super Saf sunglasses. So I'm like, all right, clearly there's a big interest in the sunglasses. So I need to, you know, launch my own brand. The issue is launching your own product is very, very difficult, especially when it's something that's so custom. You know, t-shirts, mugs, hoodies, I'm not saying they're easy, but it's a lot more straightforward. You have lots of companies that have a setup, they're in place where they can, you know, start printing on demand, right? Which takes not as much investment initially, whether it be financially in terms of time. You can provide the artwork and they can start shipping out t-shirts within days. With sunglasses, it's obviously quite different. I wanted them to be very specific to my style, the matte black, the mirror finish lenses, the logos on the side, but I also wanted the whole experience to be premium, right? So down to the box, to the case, everything needed to be black on black, Super Saf style. So yeah, that's kind of like how it came about. In terms of actually getting them made, it's still a struggle because, you know, we sold out. I got initial stock and, you know, I was... Actually, I didn't know if it was going to sell or not. I was just like, we'll see. It's something new. Within a few days, I think it was within 3 to 4 days, literally sold out of the whole stock. So then try to get some more stock, but because of the whole COVID situation and, you know, supply is difficult right now, I've actually not been able to get them back in stock. Hopefully we'll have them back in stock soon. But yeah, that's kind of like the background story of the sunglasses.
Damn it. I was going to ask you, did you get them back in stock? I haven't brought a pair yet. I want to buy a pair. Damn. Oh, well.
I mean, I'll make sure I get a pair out to you as soon as they're back in stock. But I right now it is a bit of a question mark. I've been like the inbox for the Super Saf Style Instagram and the email is just full with people saying, when are you going to be back in stock? I've got a newsletter on there. So hopefully whenever they are, but right now it's still quite tricky with how everything's going right now. It's just so hard to kind of get back onto the production line and get things made again. So, I'm very, very much about getting everything 100%. I can't have my name on something that's, you know, even slightly off. So that's why I'm very, very keen to get everything back 100% perfect before I start selling them again.
Absolutely. I think it's very important that what you just mentioned about not having your name associated with something that's just not up to snuff. I mean, as I explain a lot of times on my live stream, our biggest obligation as creators is to our audience. We have to make sure that we are doing right by our audience because they are why we are here doing what we do. And if we do get discovered or tapped on by brands, it's because of our audience. So I love that you highlight that you wanted to get that right before you put them back out there. Definitely.
Yeah, totally. 100%. And especially if somebody's putting, I value everybody's time. 100%. And you know, when they're watching your content, they're taking time out of their day to watch your content, and that's something that I really appreciate. But as soon as somebody's putting their hard-earned cash to buy something, then for me that's personal for me, right? So I'm like, okay, I need to make sure personally that everything is absolutely perfect, because now people are trusting me to, you know, put money down for a product that's got my name on. So yeah, very, very important.
No doubt, man. No doubt. Shout out to those of y'all that are listening on audio only. Thank you for listening to another episode of Vibe Drive with me and my man Super Saf TV. If you want to go check out Super Saf's content, his link will be down in the show notes. So definitely go check him out. He is legit. Also, if you guys want to support the podcast, there should be a Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes as well. Not required, but anything that you're willing to contribute, greatly, greatly appreciate it. If you happen to be listening on Apple Podcasts, though, please consider leaving a rating or review as to help more people discover the podcast, get the podcast out there, all that good stuff. So if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave that rating or review. And thank you for listening to another episode of Vibe Drive. So back to Saf. So you are wearing a very special pair of headphones on your head at the moment. For those of y'all listening on audio only, he is wearing the new Apple AirPods Max. Anybody that's been paying any type of attention to me over the past 2 weeks know that I've had several issues with my AirPods Max, so I'm curious to get Saf's thoughts. Saf, I'm wondering, I don't know how long you wear yours in one sitting, but have you noticed any condensation inside of your AirPods Max at all?
I have not. I mean, personally, I don't tend to wear headphones for too long. I mean, I used to when I used to be in a plane, but you know, that's a memory in a distant past. But like right now, because I'm at home most of the time, I usually just use speakers. You know what I mean? It's just
right.
I can have the music on loud. I can have whatever on loud. So I've not been wearing them for periods of maybe a couple of hours, like any more than a couple of hours. So yeah.
Okay. I mean, even when I wear them for short periods of time, sometimes I notice that I get condensation in mine. It's just so annoying. I've been having a few problems with mine. The first issue I had was unexplained battery drain while they were inside of their purse, the case. You know how it is. Which they're supposed to be in their ultra low power mode or whatever when they're in the case, but I was still experiencing battery drain. And I'm not the only person who was experiencing this. Other people have experienced it too. So people have suggested in my comments that if I reset them, then that might solve the battery problem. And that, for me, so far it has. So that problem was good. Unfortunately, I made the mistake of buying the silver ones and they get dirty way too easily. I really wish I would have brought the ones that you were wearing, the black and gray ones, the space gray, because those just look good and they're dark. And if they do get dirty, it's not as evident. But the third thing is the condensation. I have noticed it on multiple occasions. I've had condensation inside of my AirPods Max tab. It's very annoying. And it just drives me crazy because I love them. They're awesome headphones, but I cannot believe that that made it out of Apple's R&D. How did nobody test for that? Like, you can take the ear cup on and off, and we know that when you are wearing a headphone for a long period of time, that there might be some of that built up. So I'm just, I don't know how that made it out of the lab like that, Sam. Honestly, I don't.
I wonder if it, this is just me kind of shooting an arrow in the dark, but I wonder if it's based on location, like depending on what the sort of surroundings are of your environment. I don't know, because here in the UK, it's like super cold. And, you know, I don't know if that has something to do with it, because, yeah, I mean, I've not noticed it. As I said, you know, my listening is probably a couple of hours, maybe 2-3 hours. I've personally not had that issue.
Yeah, I mean, I've just been wearing them at home, or sometimes I'm driving with them, or I'm at the office wearing them. I mean, I'm not in no especially human environment when I'm wearing these things. I just wear them for a long period of time because I'm like watching content and things like that. But doesn't matter. I still end up with it. And I'm not the only one who's had this problem. There's a bunch of pictures on Twitter of people noticing condensation inside of their AirPods Max. So this is definitely an issue. I don't know if Apple has any plans to address it, but they need to do something because it's an issue for sure. But I'm glad that you haven't had any issue, man. Wow, those look so good.
Thank you. They've been great. But as I have seen a few people tweet about the condensation issue. I would say, you know, it's a big investment, $550 or £550. If you are having issues, Apple are, you know, very good. But like from my experience, they're very good. If you feel that money that you spent on it is not of value to you because of the condensation, I would definitely recommend taking advantage of the Apple customer service and returns policy until they find a fix.
No doubt. Like I said in my video, I cannot recommend anybody buy these until Apple addresses it, because that condensation can mess up your headphones over a period of time. So you can't have that. They got to fix that. So getting past the condensation part, obviously you are wearing the AirPods Max. So what are your thoughts about them? How are you liking them?
I do like it. I mean, I'm by no means an audiophile, right? So to me, there's, you know, three levels. Something sounds bad, good, or excellent. These, to me, sound quality wise, noise cancellation, absolutely love the noise cancellation. As I said, it's a shame that I've not been able to fully utilize these, because where I would normally use them would be on a plane, and that's really where I want to kind of zone out and not hear anybody else. But generally, yeah, they're comfortable, very premium build. Absolutely love the audio quality. Even though my hearing levels are not as precise as somebody that is an audiophile, battery life for me has been great. The purse, I mean, I'm not sure what Apple were thinking with that.
No,
because this is the thing. I mean, I will criticize, a few people call me an Apple fanboy. I wouldn't say I am an Apple fanboy, and I will criticize them where needed. And I mean, it's just a bad design. But what annoys me more than anything else is the fact that the Lightning port is not in the middle of the cutout. It's kind of like it's not in the center. Have you noticed that?
It's all thinner. Yeah. Yep. It's not lined up.
That just, I don't know, for me, somebody who, like, you know, really is all about aesthetics and, you know, everything needs to match up. It's just like, how could you not have that cut out? Like, how could that actually pass? You know, you're saying, how can that pass the R&D? It's just like, that's not in the middle. It's off to the side. That just, like, more than the fact that it looks like a purse, that just annoys me so, so much. Every time I'm like trying to plug it in, it's just like, it's off. No, I don't like that.
Yeah, and that's very un-Apple, because usually with Apple, everything is so precise and down to the nanometer. But yeah, like that cutout, like you said, it's not lined up properly at all. Weird.
No, it's totally off. But yeah, I mean, again, with the case, you know, it doesn't really protect your AirPods Max. And, you know, these are not cheap, right? Okay, yes, they're premium, but I don't want to be throwing them into, you know, a bag with that case, because I can still scratch up the ear cups very easily through this, this purse. So yeah, I think, I've seen some third party ones kind of start popping up. I'm hoping there's going to be more that are like, well, I mean, it's not going to be hard to beat the purse, but you know, I'm looking forward to those options.
Not at all. Yeah, there's a nice one from, I think, Waterfield Designs, who they started making their third-party AirPods Mac case, and it's definitely a lot better than what Apple gave us in the box. So hopefully.
Yeah.
So, somebody had mentioned something in the chat, and I was going to bring it to your attention anyway, but I guess now is as good a time as any. You, sir, just started your own podcast called Super Staff Speak. So talk to us about your podcast.
Indeed, yes. Super exciting. I mean, I'm very new to the whole podcast space. I do listen to a few podcasts, in particular clips that I listen to, rather than full podcasts. Again, it goes back to that travel thing. When I used to travel, podcasts were my thing. I just kind of like keep a few on while I'm kind of sitting in the taxi or in the plane. Now I kind of listen to more shorter clips. But it's been something that I've been thinking about for a long time, because there is so much that I want to talk about which doesn't make it onto the main channel. YouTube's algorithm is very unforgiving. And if you do steer away too much from what you normally have, and it just, the videos just die, and then they have a knock-on effect in your next video and your next video. So a lot of the times, you know, there's a video that I want to make, or maybe there's something that I just want to talk about. Maybe I want to rant about. I'm like, actually, no, I can't put it on the main channel. So I have to be very selective. So this is something that me and I've been talking to Thunder a lot about. So we've been, you know, talking about this idea for ages. I ideally wanted to do it in a studio setting, right? So wanted to have in person, face to face. And I've done a few videos with Marquez, Justine, Austin, where it was almost in a podcast format, where we sat down and had a chat for an hour or so. And I really enjoyed that, and the audience really enjoyed that as well. So yeah, it's been something that I've been thinking about for the longest time. And, you know, just the last week of 2020, I was just like, you know what? If I try to set this up in person, especially now with COVID, it's never going to happen. Right. So I asked Thunder if he'd like to be a co-host, and you know, he was up for it. So we were like, all right, let's do this. And yeah, it started. The first episode's gone live. The feedback's been great. It's been a lot of fun. With second episode tomorrow or Monday. So yeah, it's a lot of fun, man. It's I see why you guys do these podcasts. They're a lot of fun.
Yeah, especially when I get to talk to people like you and Marquez and Justine. Like, podcasting is a lot of fun. Like you said, you can't really do stuff like this on your main YouTube channel, because the algorithm just, it would eat it alive. But It is fun to like just have a different platform to be able to do podcast type content. So yeah, it's fun, man. I'm looking forward to seeing what you and Thunder E talk about, especially when he gets our buddy the Colonel on there. That's going to be a hoot of a podcast. Woo!
Yeah, looking forward to it. Yeah, but I've just been jotting down lots of ideas of what to talk about, because you know the audience always is like, Saf, can you talk about this, can you talk about that? And a lot of times I don't get to kind of speak about it. And you know, this is not talking just tech. I mean, like, you know, we just had a little bit of a conversation about my sunglasses. Again, this is not something that would have a perfect fit on the main channel. Right. So it's something that I, you know, would definitely talk about on the podcast. You know, you get so many questions about my views on, you know, current news, what's going on in terms of in and around tech, but also social media. Because, you know, being somebody who literally lives and breathes social media, I get questions all the time, whether that be, you know, how to start a YouTube channel. One of the other things that I give lots of advice on to a lot of my friends, other content creators, is about, you know, diversifying your platforms, and you know, how to be more successful on Instagram, things like that. And these are all things that I think would be so relevant for the podcast and will be a lot of fun to talk about, hopefully very useful to a lot of people listening as well. But at the same time, they're not fully set and fit for the main channel, so it'll be nice to have this having lots of fun. I mean, it's doing well. It's actually really nice to kind of start something new and see it grow. Because I remember when thankfully, you know, it hit 1,000 subscribers when it launched. But seeing that clock go over the 1,000 subscribers kind of like took me back to the old days. So right. Yeah, it's really nice. It's a great experience.
Definitely, man. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing what you and E come up with. Should be interesting. Hearing you guys talk about different topics, even like you said, non-tech topics. There's like so much going on in the world right now that there's a lot that you guys can talk about, so that could be a very interesting discussion.
For sure.
So I want to talk to you about speaking of podcasts. So Marquez did his smartphone award a few weeks ago, and I did a reaction live stream to his smartphone award, which he actually watched. So I thought that was kind of cool. But nice. One thing that came up was that was kind of funny to me was that one of his awards was smartphone bust of the year in 2020. Now he gave his smartphone bust of the year to the Note 20, the regular Note 20. And I myself, I'm like, no, I'm like, you got the right company, Marquez, but the wrong phone, because it had to be the S20 Ultra, because that camera was so hype and it just fell flat on its face. So I'm just curious to get your thoughts, and I know you're a big Samsung person, but what do you think was maybe the smartphone bust of 2020 in your opinion?
So for me, like, if I'm completely honest with you, I was thinking the same thing you were thinking, but I did agree with Marquez's reasons why he had the Note 20 regular as the bust, right? Because I like to go a little bit easy on Samsung when it comes to the S20 Ultra, because there was a lot of new on that smartphone and they took a lot of risks, right? So 108 megapixel camera, you know, the periscope zoom, that was the first time they were doing that. So I kind of like to go, you know, a little bit easy on them on that side of things, because they did improve pretty much everything that I remember looking at my review and I was like, okay, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. And along comes the Note 20 Ultra, which is still one of my favorite smartphones. Yeah. And they pretty much improved everything. You know, we've got the laser autofocus. So, you know, from that point of view, but, you know, when it comes to the Note 20, the price that it came in at, had that phone come in at a lower price, no problem whatsoever. The price that it came in at, not having the high refresh rate, having the plastic plastic back, all of that, just kind of like, you know, again, a full HD display, there's nothing wrong with a full HD display. A full HD display at $1,000 with 60 hertz, you know, on the Android side, that's definitely a problem. And, you know, I would say for me, it would be between there, but I'd say overall, I would agree with Marquez's final choice that it was the Note 20. Again, I know I'm being a little bit easy on Samsung, but, you know, I like that they did take a few risks with the S20 Ultra, because in the long term, that did give us a lot of improvements here.
All right. I love the fact that you're taking it easy, and I'm not going to take it easy on Samsung, because they promised a lot with that phone and they charged a lot for that phone up front. They wanted $1,400 for that phone. They promised us a state-of-the-art camera system, which fell flat on its face. It couldn't even focus out of the gate. So I'm not taking it easy, because they failed us. The biggest marketing point of the device fell flat on its face, and they wanted $1,400 and $1,400. And I remember when they around the time it launched, they were talking about, okay, we'll issue update after update. We'll fix it. But that's a problem that could not be fixed with an update. It was an inherent hardware flaw that couldn't be fixed with an update. So I'm not going to take it easy on them. But what I will say is that I think me and you had similar feelings about our overall smartphone of the year, because I watched your videos and you, like me, love the Fold 2. I definitely think the Fold 2 was the best phone last year. I know you feel the same way. So, yeah. But the difference between me and you is that you've used the original one. I've never used the original one. So talk to us about your experiences using the Fold original versus using the Fold 2.
So, yeah, I mean, when the original Fold came out, I mean, wow. Like, for me, the innovation factor, and, like, I hadn't been excited about smartphone as much as the Fold. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm somebody who's into tech, and I always get excited about all sorts of new tech, even if it is a smartphone. Just, you know, the features that it's bringing and the improvements are still something that's exciting to me. But I wasn't ever that excited since I can't even remember. Like, you know, it may be the introduction of the Note series, maybe even going as far back as the first iPhone, right? It was such a big change, a big jump up in the smartphone space. I remember doing my unboxing, and, you know, somebody took a screenshot and said, I want to find somebody who looks at me the way Saf looks at the phone. And it's just like, it was just genuine. It just came out. The reaction was not fake whatsoever. I just, like, kind of like, wow, this is so cool. This is a tablet that folds into a smartphone. And yeah, and I absolutely loved it. And even last year, my favorite piece of tech of 2019, sorry, not last year, the year before, 2019, was the Fold 1. And it wasn't perfect, and I did mention that it was by no means perfect, but I hadn't been that excited about a smartphone for such a long time. But again, I got to give it to Samsung. We fed back a lot on the Fold 1, and they did take a lot of that feedback on board, and like the improvements that they gave, it was just like a checkbox. It's like, okay, we wanted a bigger cover display, tick. We wanted 120 hertz with we didn't want to cut out, tick. All of these things that they actually brought over to the Fold 2, it was great. The one thing that they did really mess up on was the naming, because I'm never calling that thing the Samsung Galaxy Z Fold 2. What is it? You know what I mean? It's just like, you're almost going down the Sony naming route there. Ooh. Just call it the Fold 2, you know what I mean? So this is the thing. So, absolutely love that. From an innovation point of view, it's awesome. I still think it's out of reach for a few people, but it really gives us a glimpse of the future of how things can be.
No doubt, man. I love my Fold 2. I use it almost every day. It's an amazing device, and it almost practically ruined other phones for me, because right now, because I've used it pretty much since launch day, I have little to no excitement for the S21 line of phones, Saf. I have no excitement because I'm like, just show me the Fold 3. I'm not excited. How do you feel about Samsung's upcoming S21 line?
I'm excited. I mean, I think Samsung, people are going to come out of this podcast thinking I'm a Samsung fanboy. But I like what Samsung do. And, I did a detailed leaks and rumors video of the S21 series and just kind of broke everything down. And I'm excited. I think it's going to be. I think with Samsung smartphones, they kind of set a good benchmark for what a good smartphone is for the rest of the year, right? Because then what I'll do is once I've kind of reviewed that, I'll kind of whenever I'm checking something else out, it's like, okay, is it going to be as good as this? Is it going to be better? Is it going to be not as good? And this is something that I think, Samsung going in early is a bit of a risk, especially this early. They've never been this early, right, on a smartphone launch. But I'm excited. I mean, one of the things that I really like about my notes is the S Pen, and I use the S Pen a lot. So I'm kind of excited that that's going to be coming to the S21 Ultra. And also, based on, we were talking about the S20 Ultra last year, and it was, obviously it didn't meet expectations. So I'm kind of excited to see how the S21 Ultra will be, what Samsung have kind of taken on board and are bringing to the table to improve on that. And, let's see what the price is like. The leak pricing looks like it'll be coming in less compared to the S20 Ultra last year. So again, that's interesting. So yeah, I am personally excited.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure they're going to be good devices. I have no doubt about it. And like I told Marquez on Twitter yesterday, because I was listening to a podcast with him and Andy, and they were talking about what would be a potential bust for this year. And the fact that he watched my reaction to Smartphone Awards that came up in their podcast. And then I think they were talking about how I've named the S20 Ultra bust. And they said that I don't know what the conversation was, but I think I tweeted to them yesterday that I don't think that the S21 Ultra will be a bust. Samsung is way too good at making year-over-year improvements to their devices for them to make the same mistakes they made last year with the S20 Ultra. So I think the S21 Ultra is going to do everything that it's supposed to do and then some. And I don't see it being a bust like the S20 Ultra was at all.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I think it's going to be good. It's going to be a really good device. And again, I think it will set the benchmark for what smartphones have to be for the rest of the year. Right. So when you get the next flagship, the next one from OnePlus, straight away, a lot of us, even without knowing it, are going to be comparing it to the S21 and the S21 Ultra. It's like, OK, how good is this compared to what we've already had this year? So, yeah, I think it's going to set a good benchmark early in the year.
Okay, so earlier you mentioned the S21 line coming with S Pen support, and I got a question about that. But before, we got to address some buffoonery in the chat here from our boy, Bored at Work here. We got the Colonel in the building, and he wants me to ask you about you joining OnlyFans. What's up with that, Sam? Are you joining OnlyFans, Sam? What's up with that?
Only if E joins as well. It's funny. So we covered this on the podcast, but I'll come to this in a second. But so essentially, OnlyFans emailed me and asked me if I'd like to join. Right?
Really? Now, wow.
Yeah. So, but I mean, there's more to it than what it sounds. Obviously, the thing with OnlyFans is obviously when we think OnlyFans, we think R-rated content, right? That's just the natural association that we have with OnlyFans because of what the platform is most popular for, right? So you can't blame anybody for doing that. But OnlyFans is not only for R-rated content. It's a platform for exclusive content, right? So think of it as another Patreon. That's right. The way I like to think of it, right? So you've got Patreon where content creators upload exclusive content for their fans, right? Who will be paying a monthly subscription fee to access that exclusive content. So when OnlyFans emailed me, I mean, I posted that email on Twitter and Facebook, and everybody had a really good laugh about it. But if you actually read the email, which he read out in the podcast, they're actually asking me not to post. I mean, there's no indication of R-rated content on there. I'm sure they wouldn't mind if that's what it was. But it was more around content, tech content. So they've obviously been seeing content of mine on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, whatever that is. And they're basically proposing that, hey, you know, we'd love to have you on the platform. You could post more exclusive content. And then, what is this? So it's funny because then, you know, we discussed this on the podcast, and I gave my reasons for not wanting to join, regardless of, you know, even if it was just tech content, I gave some of my reasons around that. But that clip was on the podcast channel, on the YouTube podcast channel. And it's funny because some of the comments started coming in. One of the comments I just read and I sent to his partner. Because somebody said, Saf, I'd love to see you on OnlyFans, and E2. So I was just like, hey, E, you want to make some money? Let's do it.
And like you said, he got seven wives to feed. The colonel got wives, man. I'm just saying.
He's got wives to feed. He's got kids to feed, too. Yeah. Yeah.
Right, let's bring this podcast back to balance like Craig Federighi. So, earlier, like I said, you had talked about the S21 line of phones coming with F Pen support, and a lot of this has led to rumor and speculation that there might not be a Note 21. That kind of makes me sad because the Note line is my favorite line of Samsung phones ever. I love the Notes. I practically had damn near all of them. But what do you think about a potential end of the Galaxy Note line of devices?
So I discussed this in my leaks video of the S21. I very much doubt that that's going to happen. Note line is very, very popular for Samsung, and they have a very solid fan base on the Note side as well. I know so many people who swear by Note devices. You know, myself, again, it's one of my SIM cards is in the Note device. One of his SIM cards in the Note device is such a unique device that I think it would actually be, it wouldn't make sense for Samsung to stop it. The other reason why I think Samsung would not stop the Note line is if you do look at the leaks of the S21 Ultra, firstly, it's just the Ultra that supports it, not any of the others, based on the rumors and leaks. And the other thing is it's an accessory that's sold separately. So that's the key thing here.
Right.
With my Notes, it's not a separate accessory. It's actually built in within the device, and it's actually housed within the device as well, right? So if you look at the leaks of the case, on Win Future, we saw some leaks of some case of some cases with the S Pen. So it looks like the S Pen will potentially be bundled with this case that would have a slot for the S Pen, which would make sense because otherwise, what are you going to do with a loose S Pen? Where are you going to put it when you finish signing a document on your S21 Ultra while you're on the train? You know, you're just going to end up losing it. So that to me says what Samsung is thinking is, hey, we know there's lots of Note users who, or lots of S21 users who do appreciate the S Pen, Not all of them, some of them. And for those, we're going to give them the option of buying an S Pen separately, a bundle potentially with this case that's going to, you know, give it a bit of a package. Will it replace the Note? I very much doubt it. I mean, I'd put money on it right now that I have no inside information, don't get me wrong, but I based on these reasons that we've talked about right now, I think it would be a bad move for actually Samsung to not have the Note line. Now, having said that, would it, if the next Fold has an S Pen, that change, you know, that kind of changes the game, because it's just like, all right, are they evolving the Note series into the Fold, where you have this Fold again that goes in the theme of the larger device? I mean, the first Note was something very different at the time. Nothing else was like it at that size. Are they kind of evolving the Note series into that? That's a question mark. I still think it would be a bit early for that as well, because at the price that foldables are, I mean, the Fold 2 in the UK was around 1800. So it's still, you know, quite high, the price. So again, I think, you know, they would potentially carry on. Maybe a couple of years down the line, the Note becomes the Fold. Who knows?
Yes, E, we did talk about this on the live streams. And yes, you did mention that Samsung could evolve the Note line into the Fold line. I remember us talking about this. So you are right. We have had this discussion, dude. I remember, no doubt. I mean, I guess that would be like a natural evolution of the Note. If you're going to get rid of it, I mean, give the Fold S Pen support. I really do hope that the Fold 3 does have S Pen support. I don't know if that could be the case, but the rumors seem to be leaning that way. But then again, they were leaning that way last year and that didn't happen. But seems to be more smoke this year about the potential Fold 3 having S Pen support. So that would be awesome if it did, definitely.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, you know, with that screen, but then again, plastic coating on the screen with an S Pen, how does that work? You know, right. Would you end up scratching it? Things like that. I don't know. Maybe Samsung have a solution, which we don't know about, but we'll find out.
We will find out. I mean, we're already, what, a week away from the Unpacked event? My God, are we already a week away? Holy Lord, we are literally already a week away. My God. Tech does not sleep. Tech does not sleep. So I got an interesting, peculiar question for you. Every year you do the end of the year collab with the major tech YouTubers like Board of Work, iJustine, everybody. And before they give their pick, they always say that this is such and such with SuperSAP TV. Now, this I don't really understand this, and I'm hoping you can explain it to me. Well, obviously, you can't, because this is your thing. But why do you make them say that they're on SuperSAP TV? Because my thought process is, I'm watching it on SuperSAP TV, so I don't know. I'm curious. What's the thought process behind that?
That's a great question. So my intro from the very start has been, what's up, guys? This is Saf on SuperSAF TV, right? Mm-hmm. Now, the reason why the channel ever had Sup TV, right, was because SuperSAF was taken at the time, right? Mm-hmm. So I go into YouTube. I'm like, let me start a new channel. Oh, man, SuperSAF's taken. What do? I'll just add TV to it, right? TV's not needed. I don't refer to the channel as TV anywhere apart from the intro. I did try to change it and people didn't like it because it's got quite a good ring to it. It's like, what's up, guys? Saf on SuperSAF TV. And it's kind of like just a catchphrase that stuck, right? Mm-hmm. Now, one of the reasons why it stuck is because, again, every video starts with that. Now, when I invite everybody onto the channel, a lot of viewers, when they first come onto the channel, when they see that video, this is the first they're seeing of my channel, right? Mm-hmm. So the way I'm kind of thinking is, okay, we've got this huge collaboration, right, which is amazing, something that I came up with this was the sixth year that we had it. And, you know, it's been hugely successful, which is amazing. Obviously, thanks to everybody that takes part every year. But somebody new that's coming onto the channel, right? Now, this is my branding and marketing hat on, right? Somebody comes to the channel, they've never seen my channel before. As soon as they've seen the intro, what's ringing through their head? And you'll see people writing in the comments as well. What's up, guys? This is Saf on SuperSAF TV. And it sticks, right? So when they leave the video, they know they've seen all of these creators. They've discovered new creators who they probably may not have seen before. You know, they might have learned about the Colonel and his many wives, which they may not have learned about before. But the other thing that they've gone away with is that they've gone away with the the intro, right? So they know, okay, this is SuperSaaS TV, and you know that will hopefully encourage them to subscribe and carry on. And that's kind of really where it started. And you know, that's why I was just like, hey, look, you know, I just asked them. I mean, you know, if they want to say something else, because I know like Marquez will be like add his own ring to it, which is really cool. Be like, what's good, guys? This is Marquez on SuperSaaS TV. And you know, it's just a bit of fun really now. So yeah, so that's the background for it. So yeah, hope that answers the question.
See, no, that perfectly, you hit it right on the nail on the head, because, you know, I'm thinking about it as a creator. I'm like, why is he making them say what channel they're on? We know what channel they're on, but as a viewer, like you said, we get a lot of people that watch our channels that have never seen us before. So that branding is pretty important to know that where they are. So that's actually pretty genius now that I think about it from that angle. So thank you for clarifying that for me. I appreciate you.
Yeah, now, You're welcome. I mean, Marquez recently he tweeted, I think it was Marquez. Sorry if I'm giving the credit to Marquez if it's somebody else's tweet, but I believe it was Marquez who said, your video, I can't remember it properly, so I'm like paraphrasing it, but essentially it was every video you make might be your first impression to a new viewer, right? So make, you know, like kind of take it as that this is going to be the first time a lot of people are going to watch this video. Let me set a good first impression, right? And I think it also goes back to that. So once somebody's coming onto the channel, they see this, they're familiarized with the intro, they kind of get into the flow, and then they see, you know, all of, and that intro is just like, you know, 20 seconds, 30 seconds. Right. But it also is a good, another reason is it's also a good way to kind of show people who's, I mean, sure, you can see it in the thumbnail, right? But it also kind of gives everybody an introduction. So it's just like, okay, Marquez is here, Justine's here, Colonel Singada's here, etc., right? So they already know before going to the video who's in there, because you know, thumbnail, there's like 20 people in the thumbnail, the faces are really small. It's quite funny because people are like, where's this person? It's like, look closer in the thumbnail. You can see them, they're right there, but obviously they miss it out. But in the intro, again, that's a good way to kind of introduce, here's everybody that's in the video straight away. So yeah, that's another reason.
Definitely. So I got a tough question for me. How does your boy Viper get in on the 2021 SuperFab Mega Collaboration at the end of the year? How do I get in on it?
so the thing is, so when I started this the collaboration thing, right? I hadn't really seen anything like it before, right? So I was just like, how do I? Because I was already wondering these things. Now it quickly became very, very big because, you know, of all the creators in it, right? Now the problem I always have is striking a balance with having as many creators as I have as possible without making an hour long video, right? Because I have so many others like, oh, Saf, can I be in it? I'm thinking of maybe kind of like doing a different version of it of some sort. So I'm still kind of working on a way where I can try to include more people. But what I also don't want is for it to be a 1 hour long video, which, you know, people are just not going to watch, because sure, I mean, I leave Marquez to the end, so people watch to the end to see him at the end, right? which works most of the time, but I don't know if people are going to be, you know, be able to sit through an hour. Plus, there's going to be a lot of repetition as well. So it's very, I mean, like, you know, it's a very difficult struggle to kind of balance it so that the video is still entertaining without just being a list, right? I still want it to be a bit engaging, a little bit entertaining. I still want a variety of products without, you know, 50 people out of the 50, 30 say the fold, right? People are going to switch off very, very quickly, regardless of if Marquez is at the end or not, they are going to switch off. So it's a case of balancing it. As I said, I'm kind of like thinking of other ways that I could probably do different versions of it, potentially, where I could, you know, kind of mix it up and get different creators in. Still something that I'm working on, but we'll see. Hopefully.
Okay. So there's going to be no room for Viper, and that's cool. I feel you. That's all. I got no problem with that. But for 2021, we got to tell, you got to tell Justine that she has to pick something other than an iPhone. And tell her Viper said that. Viper said that she cannot pick an iPhone for her phone of the year 2021. She has to deviate because she uses other phones. It's not like she doesn't use other devices. So she uses other phones.
Yeah, totally. I mean, so here's the thing with Justine, right? So firstly, just want to say Justine, she's like the best person. Absolutely love Justine. She's so awesome. And even despite all of the hate she gets from Android fans in my videos every year, because, you know, there's a lot of hate she will still happily join, right? And that's something that I absolutely love about Justine, that, you know, regardless of all of the hate and stuff, she's more than happy to get involved. And she's somebody that, you know, I've known for such a long time. She's a really good friend, but also she's an OG in the creator space. She's been somebody who's been doing this for the longest time, and somebody that's an inspiration not only to all of us, but also to a lot of female creators, which is amazing, right? And, you know, that's why it's like, regardless of what she picks, I want her in my video. If somebody doesn't like that, I do not care. You can go, you can unsubscribe to my channel. I really do not care. I tend not to use bad language generally in life, but especially not on video. But, you know, I would use other language as well. She's an awesome established content creator, but also there's a lot of people who want to know which iPhone she's picked every year, because remember, since the iPhone 10, there's been 3 new iPhones every single year. This year there was, well, on 2020 there was 4 new iPhones, right? Mm-hmm. Now, which iPhone is Justine's choice, right? That's another thing that I think is a question mark, because I wonder that as well when we have a conversation. It's like, okay, which one are you using? Oh, you're using this one. You're not using, you know, because a lot of people this year especially opted for the iPhone 12 Pro, not the, I keep saying this year because we're still in January and it's, right. It's, you know, but you know, everybody knows what I mean. People, it's like a lot of people have opted for the Pro rather than the Pro Max because the Pro Max is a little bit too big. A lot of people have opted for the Mini. It's been interesting seeing the likes of Austin, seeing the likes of Quinn as well, loves the Mini. There's been a lot of, so for a lot of the fans, they want to know which is Justine's iPhone of choice, right? So there's also that element to it as well. So I can't force her to pick something else, but yeah, we'll see. I mean, we'll see. I mean, one of the years she also picked one of her favorite Android phones, which she really liked as well, which was one of the OnePluses. So, you know, maybe we'll mix it up, but, you know, she will be in my future collaborations as always. If somebody doesn't like it, I do not care.
I've said it on Twitter and I'll say it again on my podcast. If you mess with Justine or Jonathan Morrison, you mess with me and we got a problem. I'm coming for you. You can't mess with them. They're untouchable. Can't mess with them.
Mm-mm. Awesome people. Awesome people.
Awesome people. So my last question for you is about your thumbnails. You are, in my opinion, probably the greatest thumbnail artist I've ever seen in my life on YouTube. How the hell did you get so good at thumbnails? My God, dude.
Thank you, appreciate that, man. So thumbnails for me, so I've always been somebody who loves, you know, just getting creative, right? So I'm somebody who just likes to spend time on just making stuff that's unique and different, right? So sometimes I'll be spending literally hours. There has been times, I'll admit, that I've spent longer on a thumbnail than I have on a video.
Wow.
So when it comes to thumbnails in particular, right? So, you know, as I said, it's, for me, it's my creative outlet, right? The thing with YouTube is, as much as I love YouTube and without it, I wouldn't be here. The problem is you can get creative with videos, but to a certain extent, right? So I can create, there's only so many ways you can do an unboxing. There's only so many ways that you can do, you know, a review without it taking too long to a point where it's no longer going to be relevant. If I upload an unboxing video 3 days after the phone's being unboxed by 300 people on YouTube, that video is just not going to do well. So a lot of the times I know that I'm going to have to just, you know, do something standard, which is fine. It's fun. I want to unbox something, but it's not exciting creatively. I can't really do something where it's, you know, going to really be something that I can be super creative with. On the thumbnail side of things, however, it's an open book for me. I can come up with ideas, and a lot of times I'll do a photo shoot. I'll come up with an idea. I'll say, okay, maybe this will work. You know, so obviously I do the whole miniature me, which has become kind of like a theme, but sometimes I'll do something completely different and just kind of mix things up. So yeah, I mean, for me, I'll just put on some music and, you know, I'll just let the creative juices flow, right? And I'll just come up with something, which is fun. Again, gets my personality across as well, because I'm not somebody who's just, you know, sitting in front of camera and just, you know, like, for instance, I love your energy. When you did your intro, it was great. And I think that's something that people relate to as well. But then for me, the other element of that to get myself across is through creativity of my thumbnails on Instagram, for example. You know, I've really enjoyed using Instagram over the past few years as well, because it's really allowed me to get really creative with what I want to do rather than just what we see on YouTube. So yeah, that's my story of thumbnails.
I don't know how you come up with your thumbnail idea, but they're absolutely brilliant. I remember the 1 million subscriber thumbnail. I'm like, I need to learn how to do that. The way you wrap the text around the building behind, wow. That was incredible, man. I'm just saying, whew.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Yeah. As I said, it's just, I think it's one of those things. It's more about just, you know, having a play around and trying to be creative and just trying to come up with something different, right? Because your thumbnails are super important.
Yeah.
Right? Because a good thumbnail can really make or break a video, because that's the first thing. That's your first impression for a lot of people. Yep. They see that, and whatever you can get across in that thumbnail, in, you know, while they're scrolling through the endless feed, if they can stop and kind of see like, oh, this is interesting, click on it, then that's successful, and that's you've won that viewer. And then obviously it's a case of keeping that viewer with the content that you post. That's I think for me, thumbnails are very important. Just for me personally, as a creative.
Yeah, I'm learning more and more that thumbnails are very, very important, no doubt. And on that note, I think we're going to wrap up the podcast here. So thank you guys for tuning in live today. I appreciate it. Shout out to those of y'all who are listening on audio only this week. Thank you for listening to another episode of Vibe Drive with me and my man Super Staff from Super Staff TV. If you want to check out his content on YouTube, his channel link will be in the show notes. Definitely go down there and check him out. Over 1.6 million subscribers on YouTube. You know he's doing it big. Also, if you guys want to support the podcast, there should be a Buy Me a Coffee link in the show notes. Not required, but anything that you're willing to contribute, greatly, greatly appreciate it. The most important thing for me, though, if you happen to be listening on Apple Podcasts, please consider leaving a rating or review, as it helps more people discover the podcast, help the podcast get back into the top 200 on Apple Podcasts. So if you guys could take the time, if you happen to be listening on Apple Podcasts, to leave that rating or review, it will be greatly, greatly appreciated. But sincerely, thank you all for listening to another episode of Vibe Drive. But until the next time, people, this your boy Viper, the man about tech. You know where to find me. So come back for more.